Praise the Lord. Can I get a feedback? Am I coming through fine? Praise God. Amen. We thank God for His word, and we thank God for our brother ACE. Welcome. We consider ourselves privileged and blessed to have you here. We look forward to hearing more from you in God's time. Welcome. Praise God. Amen. And we once again greet everybody in the name of Jesus. And we thank the Lord for this opportunity to preach the Word of God worldwide. Amen. Through this channel that God has given us, the world is no longer divided. Praise God. All the boundaries and all the divisions are no longer there through this channel that God has given us. His Word, hallelujah, is coming through the boundaries of nations. Praise God. And we thank God for it. So without further ado, let us go to the Word of God. And let us ask the Lord to touch us right now. Praise God. We come hungry. I trust you come hungry too. And the Lord wants to feed us. Praise God. So let us join together. Let us pray right now for the Word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we magnify you today. We thank you for another opportunity to come together in one accord. Like the 120 disciples who came together up in the upper room. Praise God. They laid aside everything else, and they were focused, and their attention was only upon the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, who promised that He was going to send the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, and fill them. And today also, Lord God, we come in this place with one accord, expecting great things from You, Lord God, expecting You to change us in the upper room as we receive Your Word and Your power, that we can go out and turn our cities upside down. Praise God. In Jesus' mighty name, break the bread right now. Feed Your people right now. Minister health to them right now. Minister comfort to them right now. So that when they leave this place, they can say that we have heard from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That this is Bethel, the house of God. Praise God. Amen. And there is a ladder that connects this place to heaven. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We welcome Your presence, Your anointing, Your wisdom. In the name of Jesus, we only seek to glorify Your name. We seek only to lift Your name up right now, to draw attention to You. Praise God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, Brother Ms. Gabu. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, by the grace of God, I want to continue in a series of what I started last week, by the grace of God. Last week, as you know, I started with a sermon entitled, The Right Hand of the Lord. What does that mean? Praise God. And by the way, this sermon, this message is now put up on our website. I would appreciate if a brother or sister could put up the name of the website. Please feel free to go there. And it is in MP3 format, and it is also in text format. Feel free to download it. Feel free to use it to glorify the Lord. And already we heard that the minister in Greece has asked permission to translate it into Greek. And I trust that this is what we want the Lord to do, to spread it in every corner of the world and let it be a blessing to everybody. So today we are going to continue in the series of explaining tackling with the help of the Lord thorny issues, theological, doctrinal issues, which because of our context as Gentiles, we have not fully understood. And we have distorted it, we have twisted it to make it suit a Trinitarian doctrine, which was created by people who really do not have an appreciation and understanding of the one God doctrine. So what we are trying to do with the help of the Lord is to wrestle back these statements which belong in a one God context, praise God, and make the world to see and understand, amen, that as one God believers, we have nothing to fear. We have the answer, and this answer rather glorifies the one God that we trust in. So this week, by the grace of God, I want to spend some time on the subject, let us make man in our image, praise God. Let us make man in our image, hallelujah. And let me first read from the scripture. Thank you for putting up this website there. Feel free. I'm going to put all of these articles in there. They are 12-page documents written ourselves. We've not borrowed, copied, or twisted from anybody. But we have used our own sources like Reverend Dr. Tekle Mariam Gezrahagne and other one God proponents, praise God. So let us make man in our image. If we turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Praise God. So this article, this message has an ambitious objective, which I trust will be brought to fruition with the unction and the anointing of the Lord's Spirit. Firstly, I will seek to explore the true biblical meaning of the word us. Then, to establish which of the three most prevalent views are nearest the truth today. There are three prevalent views, as you understand today, which try to make sense of this word us. The first is that God is taking counsel with the heavenly host, as the Jewish rabbis have long held. Another view is one which says that one member of the triune Godhead is addressing his two divine counterparts. And the third view is the one indivisible God is referring to himself in exalted and dignified language, what we call in Latin pluralis majestatis, praise God. That this is God speaking about his majesty in a dignified and majestic manner, praise God. So let us look and try to understand which of these three is nearest to the biblical truth, praise God. And after that, I have demonstrated that the last view is the only one in harmony and full accordance with the rest of divine scripture, I will proceed to do justice with the help of God to the marvelous revelation, praise God, that is hidden, concealed in this glorious statement here. What did God mean when he said, "Let us make man in our image"? Praise God. One of my purposes is so that one God people will have confidence from now, so that we never ever have to back down. We never ever have to apologize when Trinitarians will throw these scriptures at us, but rather we want to wrestle back, amen, from them, these beautiful scriptures that actually magnify the one true God that we serve, and to show them the hidden and the beautiful revelation that is there, praise God. So may God help us in Jesus' name. Now, the first thing we will seek to explore is, what does Elohim mean? And how was it employed in the Bible? Praise God. Now, a man by the name of Dr. Spiros Zodiatis, he is a Greek expert in the original biblical languages, says that Elohim, which is Strong's number 430, is a masculine Hebrew noun, but it is found in a plural form. Let me explain. If I were to say today Eloh in Hebrew, as I've written in the text there, it is the singular form of God. But when we notice in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says Elohim, the last part, the Im, is plural today. Amen. But there is one thing which is very strange about this that we need to understand. So firstly, we got to admit, yes, when it says us in the Hebrew, it is speaking of a plural. But there is one thing which the Trinitarians have missed out on over there. And that is, let me read what Dr. Spiros Zodiacs has to say. He said that although this Hebrew noun exists in the plural form, it has both singular and plural uses. Praise God. Both singular and plural uses. He says in a plural sense, it refers to rulers or judges with divine connections. Praise God. So in the Bible you will find that this word is very often used in connection with rulers or judges. Amen. And then of course it is plural. In every sense of the word it is plural. When it speaks about gods, pagan gods, for example, it is plural. It is not speaking about singular. But then he goes on to say that whenever it speaks about God in the Bible,
it usually takes a singular verb. So no implication of any plurality in the divine nature can be inferred from the fact that the word is plural. Amen. In simple English, this means that whenever the word Elohim concerning God is found in the Bible, it normally says Elohim is doing something, for example. And you know the word is a singular verb. In other words, if Elohim is speaking about a plurality, a so-called trinity in the Godhead, then it would always say Elohim are. For example, Elohim are eating. But it never, we will never find in the Bible any place where it says, when speaking about God, Elohim are talking to Moses. Hallelujah. It always says Elohim is talking to Moses. Praise God. Elohim, hallelujah, singular. The verb determines whether the noun is plural or singular. Praise God. So anytime Elohim is found in the Old Testament speaking about God, it always is followed by a singular verb like is. Hallelujah. Praise God. So from this zodiacs, a Greek whose mother is Greek, who's an expert in the original languages, in his Hebrew and Greek key study Bible, says that we cannot infer, we cannot conclude that although the noun is plural, that it is speaking about a division, about a distinction in the Godhead. Praise God. So this is the first thing. We're just dealing firstly with the technical side of Elohim. Before God willing, I will come to the beautiful revelation that is contained in there. Hallelujah. Praise God. But first we got to establish the grammar. Amen. So now, having understood that, let us look at some examples in the Bible. If we look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 33, the book of 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 33, I read, because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Thank you for putting up the scriptures. God bless Brother Reality. Now I want you to look at the scripture which is put up there. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth the goddess. Did you know that in the Hebrew, the word goddess in English is Elohim. Hallelujah. So the word goddess out there actually is Elohim. Now we have a question for our Trinitarian friends. Will you conclude, will you deduce from this that Ashtoreth was a trinity? Was a trinity? Will you deduce from this when it says Chemosh, the god of the Moabites? When it says God, the word in Hebrew, note that down please. The word in Hebrew is Elohim, plural. But nobody in his right mind today will say that Ashtoreth was a trinity. Nobody in his right mind will say that Chemosh is a trinity. Praise God. These were single individual personages. Amen. They were one. Even among the pagans, they understood Ashtoreth to be one goddess. Hallelujah. So that word goddess in Hebrew is Elohim. Does it mean now that the word Elohim is plural? Absolutely not. It means that we have misunderstood something. Praise God. Just as we misunderstood the last time that the word, when God says the right hand of the Father, the right hand, that it means something totally different than what Trinitarians and people who come from a pagan background have interpreted it to mean. Praise God. So we are going to go step by step with the help of the Lord to understand what is the meaning of us. Hallelujah. Please note, Ashtoreth is Elohim. When it says goddess, the word in Hebrew is Elohim. When it says Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, the word the god is again Elohim. And when it says Milcom, the god, that word the god is again Elohim. Not Eloh. That is singular. It said Elohim. Praise God. But there is nobody who will come forward from the Trinitarian camp today and say that this is speaking about Ashtoreth is a trinity, that Chemosh is a trinity. That is not correct. Let's go further in this study, praise God. Because only by going through many other instances in the Bible, as the Lord said in Isaiah 34 verse 16, search from the book of the Lord and read. It is only through this method that we are able to arrive at a proper understanding, praise God, of what this word us means. In what context has it been used? Now, let us look at Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, praise God, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet, praise God. Notice when Exodus 7 verse 1 says, see, I have made thee a God. The word in Hebrew is Elohim, hallelujah. So let me just put the word Elohim in there, and it will blow your mind when you understand what God is saying. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee Elohim to Pharaoh. Hallelujah. The same word which was used in Genesis 1:26 is used here. Now, I take it that no Trinitarian would attempt to convince anybody in this room that Moses appeared as a Trinity before Pharaoh. Praise God. Since Moses was not suffering from multipersonality or schizophrenia or any of these kind of disorders, what is the rational conclusion? Hallelujah. The plain truth is staring you and me in the face today, that Elohim must suggest a plurality, not of numbers, but rather of glory, honor, and majesty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because God said, Moses, I have made you Elohim to Pharaoh. Pick up your Hebrew book, your English Hebrew, and whatever Hebrew, and check that the word there, a God, is Elohim. Not Eloh, Elohim, plural. Now, Trinitarians need to check the scripture, and they will understand that when they make Genesis 1:26, the same word Elohim, into a so-called Trinity doctrine, they are actually chewing more than they have bitten off, praise God. Let us be careful, praise God. Let us compare the scriptures one with another. Moses did not appear as a Trinity to Pharaoh, praise God. So what does it mean that God said, Moses, I have made thee Elohim to Pharaoh, praise God. Hallelujah. It means he will be given power. Hallelujah. He will be exalted, amen, in front of Pharaoh, praise God. With the 10 plagues, hallelujah, Moses will prove to Pharaoh that God has indeed given him dignity and honor and majesty before Pharaoh. Hallelujah, praise God. Let us exalt the God who is Elohim today, amen, who is filled with dignity, who is filled with power, hallelujah, who is filled with honor, hallelujah, amen. He is our Elohim, and his name today is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, praise God, hallelujah. Now, let us go further in trying to dig and to understand this beautiful mystery. Let us look, hallelujah, at King Artaxerxes in the Old Testament. Somebody once told me, brother, amen, it sounds all very good, but we do not have examples in the Old Testament that any king or any person used the plural form. But if you look with me at Ezra chapter 4 verse 11, the book of Ezra chapter 4 verse 11, it says, this is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, praise God. Now they sent a letter to the king. The king is called Artaxerxes. It says, thy servants the men on this side the river, and at such a time, praise God. Now look at the scripture which has been put up. This is a copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto the king. But look at verse 18 of the same chapter, Ezra chapter 4 verse 18. It says, the letter which you sent unto us has been plainly read before me. Hallelujah. Now this letter was sent to an individual, to a single person by the name of King Artaxerxes. But when King Artaxerxes replied, look at verse 18. He said, the letter which you sent unto us, amen, has been plainly read before me. Here in the Old Testament is a clear example of a king using a plural noun in speaking about himself, a plural pronoun, praise God, amen. This has nothing to do with the king being a Trinity. The king is not suffering from multi-personality disorders, praise God. But it was common for royalty to use this form of address, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. Did you know, for example, it is quite interesting that some years ago, in a country like Norway, when manners and etiquette separated the brute from the well-bred, in the old days, it was considered impolite and a sign of poor upbringing if one addressed a stranger or an elderly person with the familiar you. It was not customary to address somebody you did not know with you. It was common to say they. It sounds strange. They. But it was respectful because you don't know the person. You are attributing honor to that person, respect to that person. So today also, brothers and sisters, amen, just because society has changed and we no longer, amen, attribute respect and honor to those who we do not know, still we should understand that it was customary of monarchs in those days and even today to speak in the plural form. What about Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 2 verse 36? In Daniel 2 verse 36 it says, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Notice that Daniel is alone. There is nobody with him. Amen. When he's speaking to the king. But he says, we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. I think we need many Trinitarians need a crash course in Jewish nomenclature, Jewish terminology, praise God. Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. When he said he was sitting at the right hand of the Father, nobody asked him, what do you mean by that? Does it mean that you are a second member of the Trinity? Are you a third member or whatever? They tore their clothes because they understood right hand means the place of sole authority, the place of power. Hallelujah. Amen. So when Daniel spoke, he spoke with what was customary in that side of the world to speak about himself in dignified terms. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let us look at the other argument that is sometimes put forward. The argument which says that God was God speaking to angels. Amen. The Jews today believe that God was having a conversation with angels. But I ask you today, wouldn't that insinuate that angels are co-creators with God? Why would God tell angels, let us make man? Amen. My question, are there three persons in a divine triune committee, as some people try to tell us today, and this creation of man was a joint project? Let us look at these two things together right now. One, that angels God was speaking to, or that one member of the Trinity was addressing his counterparts, his co-creators with him. Now, all of this will show shortly falls flat on its face in the face of scriptures, praise God. Let us look at what the corpus of time-honored scriptures have to say about these fanciful speculations today. Let's look at first Isaiah 40 verse 14. Isaiah 40 verse 14 says, with whom took he counsel? Hallelujah. And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge? And showed to him the way of understanding? Hallelujah. The question is, with whom took he counsel? Who instructed him? Brothers and sisters, the truth is, God does not need to consult or even mention to anybody, whether it is a demon or an angel, what he is about to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Hallelujah. God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have a question for the Jews today who say God was talking to angels. The question is this simple. Who did God speak to before he created the angels then? Hallelujah. If he was speaking to angels and saying, let us make man, then who did God speak to before he created the angels? Amen. Hallelujah. In the beginning was God. God was alone. He didn't need to speak to anybody because there was nobody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It is that simple to disprove that he does not need to speak to angels. Praise God. Amen. Who did God speak to when he existed alone? Hallelujah. Amen. Let us not compromise the independence and sovereignty of God by speculating foolishly today. Praise God. God doesn't need to talk to anybody, but on the contrary, we need to talk to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God doesn't need to talk to you. You need to talk to God. Praise God. God doesn't need to talk to me. I need to talk to God. Praise God. Amen. Praise be Jesus. Amen. Who created all things after the counsel of his own will. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We are limiting God Trinitarians have reduced God to the level of somebody, amen, who if he does not speak to some kind of a committee called the Trinity or some angels, it seems that he cannot do anything, amen. God doesn't need to talk to anybody, brothers and sisters, praise God. But we and the angels and the seraphims and the cherubims need desperately to talk to God, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39. Hallelujah. See now that I, even I, am He. And there is no God with me. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, there is no God with God. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no committee called the Trinity. There are no co-architects. There are no deputies with God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. There are no co-assistants with God. Praise God. Amen. This is all speculative language invented by the Greek philosophers who had nothing else to do but to come to Mars Hill and discuss the latest trend and the latest philosophy. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8 says, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any," praise God. So here God denies even knowledge of the existence of another God with him, let alone a so-called triune committee, praise God. He denies knowledge of another God. Hallelujah. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9 and verse 6, praise God. He said, "Thou, even thou art Lord alone." Hallelujah. Notice, "Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven." So the one God who is alone, brothers and sisters, has made heaven. Hallelujah. He did it alone. Amen. Let us look at the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 4. Job, chapter 38, verse 4 says, God told the patriarch Job, amen, when Job was murmuring, when Job was complaining, notice the challenge that God throws at his face. He said, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Praise God. Brothers and sisters, notice the scripture. Notice how God speaks in the first person singular pronoun. Amen. Where wast thou when I, hallelujah. Who was there in the beginning who was making? I. Tell your neighbor, I, praise God. There was nobody else with him. He told Job, "Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God laid the foundations of the earth alone. He did not need to consult anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Job 38 and verse 9. Job 38 and verse 9. "When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it." Praise God. Notice he said, "When I made the cloud garment thereof." Now if there was a triune member, a triune committee, a so-called fanciful Trinity, God would have said, "When we made the cloud the garment thereof." But twice in the same chapter, he says, "When I made the cloud. When I laid the foundation." Praise God. Hallelujah. And in Job chapter 40 and verse 15, he says, "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee." Praise God. "Behold Behemoth, which I made with thee." So in these three verses, within two chapters, God continually says, I made. Hallelujah. So he stresses it. I believe today Trinitarians risk being asked a question by God. When they finally meet God like Job, he will ask them, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Praise God. Amen. He will ask them that question because they keep stressing that there was somebody with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, brother and sister, God did all of these things by himself. In Isaiah 44 verse 24, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things." Hallelujah. He said, "I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone." Tell your neighbor, "alone." "That spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Hallelujah. Praise God. By myself. Hallelujah. Let us look at Malachi chapter 2 verse 10. Praise God. Malachi 2 verse 10. "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us?" Hallelujah. How many gods created us? For those who believe, Genesis 1:26 is speaking about a multiplicity of beings. God said, the Bible said, "Has not one God created us?" Praise God. Now Malachi was asking a rhetorical question, which needed no answer among God-fearing Jews. Yes, brothers and sisters,
only one God made all things. Hallelujah. Now, look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. Matthew 19 verse 4 says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning?" Notice what he said. He which made them at the beginning. Jesus himself in the New Testament is saying, He which made them in the beginning. Who made them in the beginning? He made them in the beginning. Who made them in the beginning? He. Hallelujah. How many people can you include in He? Praise God. Trinitarians are stretching their imagination. They are doing what we call intellectual gymnastics today, when they're trying to convince us that one and He means many, means a multiplicity, means a plurality. Praise God. But that kind of intellectual gymnastics belongs in the school of Athens, praise God. It does not belong in the school of Jerusalem, praise God. It is true, like Tertullian once asked, what has Athens to do with Jerusalem? They have nothing to do with each other, praise God. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." Hallelujah. "The devils also believe and tremble." Hallelujah. Do you believe there is one God? James congratulates you. He said, "You do well." Why? You're not alone. Hallelujah. Many devils also believe the same as you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Do you know that devils are all one God believers? They tremble at the one God doctrine. But I'm certain that demons today laugh and ridicule the Trinity doctrine because they invented it to dupe human beings. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." In modern English, we would say today, "For You have created all things." You have created all things. Amen. "And for Your pleasure were they created." Hallelujah. So thus, brothers and sisters, the scriptures above, together with many others, which time does not permit to look at, demonstrate beyond a shadow of doubt that God was alone in initiating, implementing, and finishing the process of creation. Praise God. Amen. You must understand that the devil, by preoccupying the minds of the people with the us in Genesis 1:26, totally robs them of perceiving and embracing the beautiful mystery that God wants us to receive today from this verse. Now I want to come to the message behind it, praise God. Let's proceed to it. Jesus, the true image of God. Hallelujah. Now when God said in Genesis 1:26, that let us make man in our image, let us not be so confused and preoccupied with us that we forget the message that is inherent in him. And I want to do justice to it by the Spirit and the help of the Lord today. Amen. Did you know that the Hebrew word tselem, it is spelt in this way, tselem. This word is used about 18 times in the Old Testament, and only 5 of them refer to man. This word is sometimes translated as a dream. In Psalm 73 verse 20, tselem is translated as a dream. There is another word which is similar to it, which is used. It is called the mute. This word, the mute, is what is translated as likeness. So, Dr. Spiros Zodiatis says that the two words are basically no different from each other. Ezekiel saw the likeness of God, and by that he meant resemblance, shadow, similitude, model, pattern, or shape, but not God himself, praise God. So we can conclude from studying the etymology of these words, the origin of these words, that tselem is not an exact duplicate, praise God. Even the Reverend Dr. Tekle Mariam Gazahagni notes, and I'm quoting from his book, Bible Writer's Theology, he said, "Adam's flesh was created from the dust while his spirit was created from, while his spirit was from the breath of God." And at one time, I remember he mentioned to me, he said, when God made the physical Adam, this Adam with the Spirit of God in him was a half-caste. I thought those words were very interesting. He said that Adam is a half-caste. He's a shadow. He's a poor duplicate of the real image of God. We know today that God cannot be from the dust, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So Adam and his descendants
cannot be the image that God is speaking about, folks, today. Praise God. Simply because God is not from the dust. Even God rejects that we are in His image or in His likeness, because He asks Isaiah. He said in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25, this is what He said. He said, "To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" Praise God. "To whom then will you liken me?" But did not God say in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, so God made man in His image, in His likeness. But God is denying that. So how should we understand this? The answer lies clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 29. Amen. Romans 8, 29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Praise God. Hallelujah. When God, brothers and sisters, was creating man, He used Jesus as the prototype. Hallelujah. Before God's Spirit reached down into the dust to shape, form, and mold Adam, He already had a blueprint. He already had a model. Praise God. The model, brothers and sisters, is the body that He Himself was going to manifest Himself in. Praise God. Hallelujah. So before He made man, He already had a model. Praise God. He already looked into the future. Praise God. And He was looking, hallelujah, just like an artist today who is going to paint, amen, on a sheet of canvas, stand somewhere, and He has a model, He has a prototype, He has a blueprint from which He is going to make His painting. Praise God. That painting, He has to have a prototype. God also, in His foreknowledge, hallelujah, as the Apostle Peter said, the Lamb of God crucified from the beginning of the world, hallelujah. God already knew what He was going to make, hallelujah, praise God. So when His Spirit dug into the earth and picked up some sand, hallelujah, He, the master artist, praise God, the master creator, already was beginning, praise God, amen, hallelujah. He already had the blueprint. He had Jesus in front of Him, praise God. Amen. In His mind's eye, praise God. He looked into the future, praise God. And He was seeing His own flesh and blood. And He's looking at it and He's saying, "Now I am going to make," praise God, "what I'm going to come in myself in the future," praise God. Hallelujah. This body would be the monogenous of John chapter 3 verse 16. Meaning the same genes as God. The same race. The same stock, the same kind. Hallelujah. This is the words that are used by James Strong himself, praise God. That monogenes is the same race. Hallelujah. So this body that He was already going to come in from the beginning, before He made Adam, hallelujah, would be the icon, the image, the true image, which is derived from the same source as the Father Himself. As Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, God knew that Adam and Eve would sin and grow old and suffer and die. So why does the scripture say in Genesis 1 verse 31, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." Hallelujah. A careful study of the Bible leads us to conclude that I do not believe today that God was looking at this body, which He knew was soon going to become old, suffer with disease and destruction, and going to become corrupt. He was looking at it and He was saying, "It is very good." Hallelujah. How can it be very good when you know that it is going to die soon? Because God knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe, brothers and sisters, today, praise God, that God was fully aware that the creation He had just called very good was soon going to be transformed into a world where predators would devour the weaker animals. Man would pollute the atmosphere. Many plants and animals would become extinct. So why did He say it was good? In His foreknowledge, God was looking at the real image, His own body, Jesus Christ, praise God. And He knew that through Jesus, not only man, but the whole of creation which today we are polluting, we are destroying, we are things are going extinct. All of these things would be restored through Jesus Christ, praise God. So when God looked, even though He just finished making the creation, and it was beautiful, but He knew it was going to become corrupt. He knew man was going to drag the whole of creation down. Because of man today, many species of flowers, birds, animals have become extinct. All these things were going to become corrupt. So He was not looking at it and saying it is very good. Hallelujah. Why would you say it's very good when you know it is going to become extinct? It is going to become corrupt. Hallelujah. He was looking at the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 2, 5. Praise God. This body, this true image, would be the one which would restore everything back to the to even a greater degree of bliss, a greater degree of paradise. Hallelujah. Praise God. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything, there will be no destruction. There will be no sorrow. Praise God. So when He looked at Adam, He was looking at Jesus. When He said, it is very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because this Adam is not very good. Amen. That He just finished making. This creation He finished was not good. Look with me at Romans chapter 8 verse 18. Praise God. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 says, Romans 8, 18 to verse 23. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, hallelujah, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Praise God. Hallelujah. So brothers and sisters, it is clear. God knew all of creation, as Paul has just confirmed in these verses, was going to become corrupt. Today, do you know, there are hundreds of species of the beautiful creation of God which are going extinct on a daily basis. How could God look at all of that and say, with the foreknowledge that He has, it is good? I believe He was looking in the future at His own image, the Word that was made flesh, in which the Father manifested Himself. Hallelujah. And this body, amen, would bring us back once again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Creation and man and everything will take us back again. Hallelujah. Amen. To even a greater and higher and more exalted state than ever before. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The last point that I want to touch on. There is another observation that I make when I read Genesis 1:26. If we look at Genesis 1:26 again. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, brothers and sisters, the text does state that man was to have dominion over, among others, everything that creeps upon the earth. We know, however, that the devil deceived Adam through Eve. And actually, the seed of the serpent, which is sin, has dominion over Adam and his race. Praise God. So Adam, in spiritual terms, has been overcome by that which he was supposed to have dominion over. Hallelujah. He was supposed to have dominion over that which creeps, among others, the serpent in the garden. But however, it turned out that that which he was supposed to have dominion over began to have dominion over him. Hallelujah. So Adam has been overcome by that which he was to have dominion over. Brothers and sisters, how glorious it is for us today to be comforted by the blessed thought that the real image of God, who is Jesus, has bruised the head of the serpent. Praise God. Amen. It is only Jesus that will truly have dominion over everything. Amen. When God said, let man have dominion over everything, Adam did not have dominion over everything. Praise God. He did not have dominion over the snake. Amen. Satan overcame man through that which creeps in him. Hallelujah. But the true image of God, the true Jesus, the true image of God, who is Jesus today, is the only one, hallelujah, who has overcome and has dominion over everything, praise God. And that is why I do not believe Christ, God, was speaking about Adam and creation in a 100% context when he said, let them have dominion. Let us make man, it is good, and let them have dominion over everything. Because man is not good, he's corrupt today. Amen. Secondly, everything is not good today. And thirdly, we do not have dominion over everything today. It is only through Jesus Christ that we have dominion. Praise God. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Praise God. We know that Jesus Christ is the one who fulfilled the scripture. Praise God. Today, with those of us who are born again of the water and the spirit, we will have dominion over every creeping thing, over every sin, and over our ancient enemy Satan through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Having this understanding, we too can, in spite of the apparent chaos in the world today, in spite of our present sufferings today, we can declare together with God, indeed, the image of God, Jesus Christ, is very good. Hallelujah. He is very good. Praise God. Amen. That is why Paul said in Romans 16 verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Praise God. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Hallelujah. Friend, if you desire to have dominion over sin and the devil, you need to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God wants to make everyone in His true image today. You need to put off the body of Adam in baptism in Jesus' name. According to Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 19:1-5, Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:21, Colossians 2, verse 11-13, praise God, amen. When you have put off the body of Adam, hallelujah. Why do you need to put off the body of Adam? Because that body of Adam, which is made of dust, belongs to the devil. The devil has dominion over it, praise God. God told Satan, you will crawl on your belly. Dust shall be your food. If you are still in the body of Adam, you are dust today. And Satan will eat you. Satan will have power over you, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you put it back in the dust, give it back to the dust. Hallelujah. Amen. Once you have discarded the old, corrupt, Adamic flesh, you can put on the flesh of Jesus in water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the only flesh that Satan has no dominion over. This is the only flesh by which we can fulfill what God intended in the beginning, when He said, it is good, it is very good, and let Him have dominion over all things that creep. You want to have dominion over that which creeps today? Put on the flesh of Jesus, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then God desires to fill you with His Holy Spirit, and you will speak in beautiful tongues and become the temple of the living God. The Lord be with you. I want to close in a quick prayer. Hallelujah. While the Spirit of God is touching us, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you right now. I pray that your Spirit, Lord God, which is here, which is touching all of the people who are here in this room together at one time from every corner of the world. Hallelujah. That your Spirit, Lord Jesus, will speak to them, will minister to them. Hallelujah. Touch their mind. Hallelujah. Remove the confusion of a Trinity. Remove the confusion, hallelujah, of a multiplicity in the Godhead. And let them understand and appreciate the beauty of the Shema Israel, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Echad, praise God. The Lord our God is one, hallelujah. It is this one God who today whose word has become flesh, praise God. Amen. And God, who is spirit and word, has allowed, hallelujah, His spirit, praise God, to animate, to live in that flesh, which has been our atonement today, praise God. I pray, Lord God, that Your word will bring Your people to a place of conviction, hallelujah. Touch those who have not embraced this truth. Let them understand, give them the revelation of this truth. Let them know that this is a message that the apostles preached in the beginning. This is the message, hallelujah, which brought revival in Jerusalem and conquered the Roman Empire within 200-300 years, praise God. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name that You will touch the backsliders, bring them back to love this truth once again, not to compromise it, praise God, amen. Let there be an apostolic one God, a baptism in Jesus' name, revival across the world, hallelujah. And thank You for this platform You've given us. Touch Your people. Speak to them, Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. Touch them. Let Your spirit right now convince them of the truth of these words. And we will be careful to give You praise. And the church of God said, amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. I yield the mic. God be with you in Jesus' name.